Hebrews chapter 12, first, second, third verses. Actually, I shared the same message last night with one of the church we attended. I would like to bring out the same because it's very much where we need to look at these days, because we are living in a world that's very easy to distract from the focus we are supposed to have in our lives. Let me read with you Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and disgraced in your souls. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we thank you so much for this evening, Lord. We thank you for choosing us to serve you, and we call you as your children. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, buried and rose again, and he provided the hope for us to be with you one day in heaven. Father God, we thank you for the ministry through Brother Curtis and his family and the church, Charity Bible Church, Lord. We thank you so much for what you have been doing through this church. Lord, there's a lot more to reach and reach the people for the lost people, Father. Use each and every one of us and open our hearts. And Lord, give us the strength. Use us with your Spirit. Guide us with your Spirit to do the best we can to please you and to glorify your name, to bring the souls to the saving knowledge of Christ. Father God, this evening, as I'm going to, we thank you for the opportunity to be here to share the word and to share the burden in our hearts about India. Lord, there's a lot to reach out there, Father. Thank you for choosing us to serve you and serve the Savior, Father. Father God, give us spirit words to speak and fill us with your Spirit. Lord, I encourage each and everyone tonight and use us for your glory. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. There was a missionary in China. Many of you heard about him, knew about him. Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary in China. And as he was pursuing his purpose in his life to reach the Chinese successfully, one day he was in the headlines saying that, he was in the newspapers in fact, and his wife saw that and told him that he was referred as an apostle. And do you know what Hudson Taylor replied back, how he replied to her wife, to his wife? I don't like to be compared with apostles or forefathers. Rather, he wants people to see in him Jesus Christ. You know, oftentimes we are carried away by the different positions or reputation, different things like that, but one of the danger in Christian life is that many times we are carried away by the influence of the church in the history and great achievement of the people in the process. What exactly we miss is their objectives. What are their objectives? We talk about apostles, the great missionaries, martyrs, reformers, world evangelists and so on. And we are very much feel fascinated about them. You know what, the fascination does not long last. The reason is, that is what exactly Satan does to our lives. But he makes us talk about their achievement, but keeps us aside their objectives. There's no wrong to talk about them and their achievement, but we forgot to focus on objectives in our lives. The purpose and the objectives is nothing but the person, Jesus Christ, who influenced their lives and who was the purpose for everything. It doesn't mean that those heroes, as we see in the chapter 11, he's talking about all the patriarchs. How they trusted the Christ, how they showed the faith towards God and trusted Him and did the what God commanded them to do in their lives, and they achieved success to reach many souls for Christ. Maybe this evening I would like to give you the three important points I would like to bring out from these three verses. Verse 1 is talking about, therefore we also, since surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses. If you see in the chapter 11, by faith we understand that it's talking about, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? Things which you cannot see. You must understand and you must have a faith that those are the things hoped for. The first point I would like to bring out here, maybe the writer who maybe is talking about that, he pointed out three divine resources that encourage a Christian to keep going when the situation is difficult. In fact, I titled my message as a target-oriented life. Target-oriented life. Right, as you got up in the morning, we always have many things to do in our list, right? We write the things, what to do this today, what do we have for next day or week or month or year. We plan ahead what to do in our lives. Oftentimes we have a plan in our lives, but many times we cannot achieve what we want to achieve. Maybe personal benefit or common or corporate benefit or personal family needs or whatever it may be, but oftentimes we just depend upon our strength to fulfill the to do the things in our lives. The writer is just wrapping up everything in the talking about all the patriarchs, all those faithful whoever God used those prophets in that chapter 11, and he's in verse 12 he's talking. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses, here. If I explain more clearly, the great cloud is nothing but witness which are introduced in Hebrews 11, but they are the heroes of the faith. It is not suggested here that these men and women now in heaven are watching us as we run the race like people seated in a stadium, but the word witnesses does not mean spectators. But our English word martyr comes directly from the Greek word translated witness. These people are not witnessing what we are doing. Rather, they are bearing witness to us that God can see us through. God bore witness to them, and they are bearing witness now to us. You see in chapter 11 verse 2, for by it, the chapter 11 verse 2 talking says, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. 4 and 5 says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. We cannot read all those verses, but verse 39, and it says, and all these, having obtained good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. True Bible faith is not a blind optimism or a manufactured hope or feeling. Neither it is an intellectual assent to a doctrine, but it is certainly not believing in spite of the evidence. That would be superstition, right? True Bible faith is a confident obedience to God's word, in spite of circumstances and consequences. That is what is, therefore we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. The writer, he's talking, the, in his mind, he's talking about, because those days, athletic games are very important in those days. So he's keeping in that mind and he's writing, they're talking about the race and focusing on the race. See, the athlete, if you want to achieve the gold medal, how many years he got to suffer? Not like a suffer. He doesn't feel that he's going to suffer, but he works, he takes time and he spends his time and forget everything in his life and strive to achieve the goal by leaving everything. Oftentimes he got to restrict his food, his time and his friends and family. The reason is, his focus is to achieve the goal in his life. We are surrounded by great witnesses. The first point I would like to bring out here, as I said earlier, look around at the winners. Look around at the winners. We saw many winners in the chapter 11 at the same time. Many preachers, many martyrs, how many of them, they sacrificed their life for proclaiming the gospel. They are the great witnesses to us around us in our life. They might be a great encouragement to us. We need to get encouraged by them. We need to motivate by them to continue the ministry, what God entrusted to us, to continue the life, to share the truth, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel. Because the writer's picture is that of an arena in which the Christians whom he addresses are contending in a race, while the vast host of the heroes of faith who, after having borne witness to the truth, have entered into their heavenly rest, watches the contest from the encircling tides of the arena, compassing and overhanging it like a cloud, filled with lively interest and sympathy, and lending heavenly aid for us to continue the faith. Continuing the same faith to achieve the goal in our lives. Beloved, we got to look at the winners. See, we got oftentimes, as a fellow brother and sisters in the church body, I'm really encouraged by Brother Curtis and his decision to start a church. The next believer, the fellow body, brother or sister in the church body, it's a great encouragement to you oftentimes. We don't realize many times. We are supposed to be a believer. We might be a great encouragement to the people. God, the Sermon on the Mount, God said, you are the light of the world. Right? You are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. The nature of the salt itself is to bring the taste, right? If you cook any Indian curry, if you don't add salt in that, you don't get good taste. No. You are the light of the world in the sense, God, the moment you received Christ, you became a light of the world. You might be a light to the people around you. If I see this sister, I see the difference in this sister. She shows the love of Christ. If I see this brother is showing the love of Christ, the way he talks, the way he works, the way he responds, that shows the love of Christ. That will be a great witness to the people around us. Let me move on to the second point here. Verse 1, second part of the verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The first point is, look at the winners. And second point here is, look at yourself or look at ourselves. He was saying, let us lay aside every weight. What is the weight the writer is talking about here? The weight is nothing but everything that hinders our progress. Everything that hinders to achieve the goal, what we are striving to. If we use the illustration for athletics, Athletes always used to wear training weights to help them prepare for the events, right? No athlete would actually participate wearing the weights because they would slow him down. For example, the modern analogy is a baseball player who swings a bat with a heavy metal collar on it before he steps to the plate. So, they might even be a good things in the eyes of the others, a winning, but oftentimes it looks very good, but sometimes those good things hinders our progress. We need to realize, is it really helping me to go further to achieve what I need in my life? A winning athlete does not choose between the good and the bad, but he always chooses between the better and the best. Right? So he's talking about, we should also get rid of the sin that is so easily entangles us. We are living in a world, there's a lot of chances that we could distract from our focus, our target-oriented life. We cannot achieve the things what we want to achieve. The reason is so much distractions. Maybe the third point will give us the answer how we can achieve that. Right? But in other words, the writer does not really specify the specific sin he's talking about, but probably he is referring to sin of unbelief, unfaithfulness, not completely trusting the Lord that He could supply all our needs and provide all our needs to reach the goal what we are striving for. Remember, it was the unbelief that kept Israelites to stay in the wilderness for 40 years. Remember that story? How many times even God did many miracles in their lives, though they were still didn't show complete faith towards God and always murmuring and speaking against God. It took them 40 years. 40 days trip, it took them for 40 years. How many miracles, see, as the beginning of the moment we trusted the Christ until this point, just imagine, look back and how many times God helped us in many ways. How many miracles God did in our lives. We got to remember, yes, right of saying, look at the winners. Look at the past life, how God helped us in the different ways that you can gain strength through that and continue further to fulfill what God commanded us to do. If you read the word faith, the phrase by faith or through faith, used 21 times in chapter 11. Yeah, amen. 21 times. It's indicating that that is a faith in Christ that enables to endure whatever we face in our lives. So we got to understand that we need to lay aside the unbelief, unfaithfulness, and trusting the Lord that He can provide, He can meet all our needs. You know what? I did not come to Faith Baptist Bible College and Seminary having a lot of money in my pocket. I didn't. I just came to faith by faith. God miraculously opened the doors for me to meet all my needs. I paid very little amount in the first year, but second year and third year I got 100% scholarship. 100% scholarship. And God miraculously, we were without a vehicle for 1 year. And anonymously, one friend sent me $5,000 check to buy, send gift for us to purchase a car for us. He's a rich God, and he knew our needs, and He will provide the time when you completely trust in Him and have faith in Him. He will provide the meat of us. So we need to look at ourselves and lay aside everything. Leave everything what is going on in our hearts. Just keeping in our hearts and struggling with that and not really trusting Him completely. We need to just focus on Him and trust Him. So answering the third point here, and looking unto Jesus, amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And finally, look at the winners, and look at yourself, or look at ourselves, and look at Jesus Christ. Because He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one, God sent His Son to die for us on the cross, for our sins, on our behalf, and He buried and rose again on the third day. He rose as the first fruits from the dead. And He gave us a hope that someday we'll be with Him in heaven. One of the important things we need to understand is Jesus Christ is the exemplar in our lives. He's not only the example to follow in our lives, but He is the enabler to follow Him. Of course, we read about Abraham, we read about Moses, we read about Joshua, Jehoshua, all of these people. They are just examples. We can motivate by them how they live the life, obeying the God's call in their lives. But the Christ, Jesus Christ, who is the enabler to achieve the things in our lives. Folks, we need to look at the winners and we need to be reminded ourselves all the time, the lives they lived. And we need to look at ourselves and lay aside everything what is distracting in our lives to achieve the goals. And finally, we need to look unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. I just want to read this to you and I just close this message tonight. Jesus Christ of the many titles, one is the great teacher, right? He's the great teacher. Socrates taught 40 years. Plato taught 50 years. Aristotle taught 40 years. Altogether, 130 years. But much less influence than the 3 years of Jesus' ministry. His ministry is only 3 or 3.5 years of ministry. Jesus painted no pictures, but finest painting inspired from Him, like Raphael, Michelangelo, and Leonardo da Vinci. Jesus wrote no poetry, but Dante and Milton and scores of world greatest poems were inspired by Him. No music composed by Him, but Haydn, Handel, and Beethoven, Bach found highest perfection of melody in Him. His 3.5 years of His ministry changed the perspective of the world. But beloved, we got to reach a lot in this world. There's a lot of work we need to do in this world. We're thinking about India, as you saw the video, 83% are Hindus. They believe in all kinds of superstitions. Just pray that God will raise the people to who carry the same burden we all have to proclaim the gospel and bring the souls to Christ. Tonight is a challenge for all of us that we need to continuously remind ourselves what our patriarchs did and the witnesses we have seen in our lives. We need to remind ourselves and lay aside whatever that is hindering our progress to continue His work. He's always hindered by Satan and his evil works, but there is God, His Spirit. He will lead us and guide us. And He's our strength, He's our fortress, He's our rock to continue His work to reach the lost for Christ. In order to reach our target-oriented life, we need Christ in our lives every second. We need pray consistently, read the Word of God consistently. Live a life that pleases the people around us. Show the love of Christ. Show the way how God showed His love and mercy upon the people around Him in His life. Let's have the same heart and mind and give our hearts to God and just bow your heads in a word of prayer with me. May I ask Pastor Curtis to come and pray and close this session with a word of prayer.